instructing you.
Thank you. This is a, what I consider to be a challenge with such a full house audience here. Seeing Dr. Andrew James, one of my former colleagues from the University of Texas School of Public Health, come in. Welcome. First, I would like to disclose that I declare no financial relationship regarding this presentation in terms of interest and influence regarding the educational activity that we are about to embark upon. This is going to be fairly informal with such an intimate audience. So basically, our task is to provide for you the description of what learning objectives are pertaining to the Learning Institute, describe for you the difference between a Learning Institute course and a scientific session, and also provide for you some of the elements that make for a successful Learning Institute, and a discussion on the process for developing and submitting an LI. The approach that I like to take for these kinds of sessions, realizing that so many sessions are offered during the annual APHA, is what I tell my graduate students who try to learn about the legislative process. And that is, at every state level, annually, there are hundreds, if not literally thousands, of proposals that are submitted. And not all of them are worthy of acceptance. So it's a matter of understanding the process. It's a matter of being able to build your case and justification for how to influence the policymakers, or in this case, the decision makers at APHA. So what we will attempt to do in the next few minutes is to, at least the portion that I'm going to provide for you, is to kind of do a sidebar, and that is make a distinction between what a Learning Institute course is compared to what a scientific session is, how it's designed and developed to relay information about a study or activity on the side of scientific session. And on the left is how to design to teach new skills. And this is basically what a Learning Institute is. So for your benefit, those of you who have your programs, what better way to make the distinction than to give you some concrete examples? So what I did for this particular objective in terms of how to design and teach new skills, there are a couple of courses, and in fact, this year for the Learning Institutes, there were a total of about 18 that were submitted, and there were several hundred scientific sessions. Now, the difference here is scientific sessions, as you know, are provided by the units, by the specific sections within APHA, as compared to the Learning Institutes, which are, and we'll say more about this later, which are, in effect, solicited by APHA. And the decision is essentially made by my colleagues who, with me, serve on the Education Board. Two of the examples that I would provide for you to make the distinction in this particular case is Learning Institute 1002, which is a response to radiological and nuclear terrorism, which provides for more in-depth knowledge and skills about that specific subject. There's also another, what I thought was a significant institute that was submitted and approved this year, and that is one how to develop software tool for investigating population-based cancer statistic. Now, opposite that, if you look at making a comparison of Learning Institute and a scientific session, this provides for us to expose you to best practices. Cutting-edge sessions, for example, organized for APHA leadership units to enhance the knowledge and exchange information about best practices and some of the latest research in the public health arena. And there are several that I identified that we can discuss later. Another distinction is to provide for, Learning Institute provides for more in-depth training. It's more comprehensive of a study of a subject matter compared to a scientific session, which is designed to solicit information from members that focus on research and its use in the public health field. For example, if you look in your book, Learning Institute Scientific Section or Session 34, just talking with Dr. James about the impact of the devastation down in Galveston. There was a session, scientific session, on this particular phenomenon, 34-34, hurricane, measuring the health and population outcomes, the impact that this kind of a phenomenon would have on that particular section or geography or population at risk. There's also another Learning Institute, 34-28, health education in primary care settings. That's something that would be provided as a scientific session as opposed to a learning institute. Another distinction of a learning institute compared to a scientific session is an LI enables the learner to receive hands-on, skill-enhancing instruction, much more detail. They tend to be longer in duration compared to a scientific session, which do not are not designed to equip the individual with how-to skills. Another distinction is the Learning Institute is offered to address member-identified gaps in skills as compared to a scientific session, which is designed to provide the latest research results and program outcomes. Just one example that I gleaned from the program, 4019.0, tracking hazards and health for government, for making government decisions. And this falls in the category of what I typically do, and that is, how do you provide information to legislators when they are considering an issue at the state level to help make a decision? So this is using scientific research to assist state legislators in decision making. That's a distinction of a scientific session compared to a Learning Institute course. Another distinction is a Learning Institute course allots considerable, much more time and is much more extensive in scope compared to a scientific session, which usually is about 90 minutes long and didactic and is didactic in nature, which is pretty much similar to the kind of session that we're having with you today. The learning institutes can range from a half day, in fact, to a full day. And if you look at the 18 that are in your program, you will see that many of those learning institutes that began prior to the beginning of these scientific sessions do, in fact, run for either half or full day in duration. The learning institutes are held, as I said, prior to the beginning of the annual meeting. They also provide for continuing education credit. Those that are approved provide credit for attendees for CME, CNE, and also for CHES. Typically, they are provided on Saturday and Sunday, just prior to the beginning of the full APHA annual meeting. As I've already mentioned, they provide for much more intensive and educational experience as compared to scientific sessions, which are tend to be several hundred in duration in terms of the number that are offered, which provide for greater attendees from literally around the country and around the world. Learning Institute courses typically consist of limited number of concentrated continuing education courses, and they are, again, designed to promote skills and enhancement as compared to a scientific session, which provides little time for questions and interaction with the presenter. Now, that's one of the drawbacks that I see when you make the distinction of a learning institute compared to a scientific session. A learning institute has also submitted in response to a call for proposals. Now, this is at the prerogative of the APHA leadership. There may be an area that the leadership feels or believes that there's need for much more in-depth knowledge and skills on the part of its membership. And again, those are calls for proposals. Unlike scientific sessions, those are provided by the sections. Abstracts are submitted on topics of choice by the public health field. And if you are fortunate enough to plead your case convincingly, then you're among the chosen few. You have the opportunity to present at your annual meeting on behalf of your section or speak. Learning Institute courses are reviewed by Continuing Education Subcommittee of APHA, the Education Board, of which four of us here happen to be a member of. Compared to a scientific session, these are reviewed by your section prior to being approved for presentation. Reviewed and approved by the section, speaks, caucuses, and their leadership. LIs in the past years are reviewed and considered in identifying education and technical assistance. Conversely, a scientific session provides new research and considers for scientific merit, or is considered for its scientific merit, and the practice application, what I consider to be to the profession. So this is designed in a way to make sure that the needs of the profession are in fact being addressed, as opposed to the needs of the organization, APHA as a whole, on the Learning Institute course side, which is based on what is believed to be perhaps a policy nature or something that is much broader in scope. So with that very brief background and overview, as you can see, there are distinctions between the two. By way of summary, you can see that the LIs tend to be those that focus on much more in depth and are submitted at the request of the leadership of APHA, as opposed to the scientific sessions that are submitted and approved and vetted through your specific section. Are there any questions or comments about that brief little sidebar, side-by-side distinction between learning institutes and scientific sessions? We'll have the opportunity perhaps have a little more dialogue after my colleagues have given you much more in-depth expression of what you have just heard. Dr. Bender. Sorry. Okay.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I am APHA staff. I'm a manager of the Learning and Professional Development Programs Unit, and that requires me to assist the Ed Board, and we have another committee within APHA that looks at accreditation, which Dr. Bender will talk about. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, most of you want to know, how do you submit a Learning Institute proposal? What should be in it? What's the process for doing that? And how does the selection work? Learning Institute course proposals are submitted online, as are regular abstract submissions for APHA. If you have submitted an abstract for APHA scientific sessions, you'll see when you go online that it has a whole list of the different sections, and you click on a section that you want to submit an abstract to. There is also an APHA Learning Institute section, and you would click on there. We do have a different call for proposal. It outlines the information that we need, and it's a little different than the scientific session submission form that's online. We do ask for more detailed information. We ask that it be skill enhancement based as opposed to just knowledge based. Scientific sessions, you know, you can have a panel of five people giving 10-minute presentations on their research or their best practice, what they've done, how they've done it, and maybe how you can do it too. For the learning institutes, they're either 3 hours, 6 hours. We even have one, which is the epidemiology for non-epidemiologists, that's been given for the last at least 3 years. And that has turned from a six-hour course to a two-day course. That's 12 hours of instruction Saturday and Sunday. And what that faculty does, actually it's one person, they give basically an EPI 101 course within a two-day period with interaction, pre- and post-tests, activities, case studies, so that when the participants come out of that learning institute, they should be able to go back and apply those skills that they've learned in their work. Whereas sometimes with scientific sessions, you get more information and you might do some more research, but the skill-based component is usually not present. You may learn where to get more information so you can try to provide or incorporate some different skills, but it's usually information-based as opposed to the Learning Institute, which is skill-based. Within the call for proposal, it will tell you what the focus for that year might be, what kinds of proposals we're looking for. We will be revising the call for proposal probably over the next couple of weeks or so before it goes online for the 2009, because we find with the economics of travel and so forth that we might need to provide these Learning Institute courses in a webinar format so that more people can receive the information and benefit from those Learning Institutes. So we're going to try to make that change for 2009. And if we can't do it specifically with changing the whole call for proposals, we may ask if the selection committee is interested in what you've submitted, if you will be open to doing it as a webinar as opposed to a full on-site Learning Institute course. So that will be hopefully a change this year. Once all the pieces of the learning, the proposal must include an overall abstract which details the skill enhancement and why this is important. It outlines the information in the call, but we want an overall abstract with learning, measurable learning objectives, and we give you a lot of instruction on how to develop a learning objective. We may, in the future, limit your access to learning measurable learning objective language so that it's easier for you to develop a learning objective and it's easier for us to rate and make decisions on whether those learning objectives really do apply to the content that you're looking to present. If you have more than one faculty member, that faculty member, for the period of time that they are speaking or giving some kind of either lecture or activity, has to have their own individual abstract and learning objectives. You have an overall one, and then you have one for each individual speaker, faculty member, to delineate what the learner should be able to take away from their presentation. If it's 15 minutes, if it's an hour, that should be specific to that person's presentation. These are all the things that we look for to determine whether a proposal or course has been well developed, if the presenters and faculty are aware of what their part of it is. You know, sometimes we have one person who generates this whole proposal, but they're not, and then they know maybe of the work that the other person is doing, but we'd like you to be a little, for it to be very tight and focused, because people do pay an additional cost for those learning, Learning Institute courses. That's above and beyond the APHA conference fee. They have to come in 2 days early if it's a Saturday or a Sunday. They have to pay, you know, airfare, hotel, and time here. So we want them to be able to walk away with a real skill that is helpful to them in their work life. Sometimes they just come to the Learning Institute. They may not be members of APHA, but they want to learn that skill, and we want to be able to offer that to them. Once all of the proposals come in, they are coordinated by the staff at APHA, and those proposals are sent out to the review committee. And that's a 5-member committee of education board members, who 3 of them represent the 3 disciplines that we provide continuing education accreditation for: nursing, health education specialists, and physicians. So we have to have a person from each one of those disciplines on the review committee, plus 2 other members. They take the proposals, they look them over, they have a ratings sheet, and after they score all of those, they either come out with a positive yes, maybe, or a no. And then all of the members come together in Washington in March, and we sit down with all of the proposals, and we go through and see which are clearly yes for everyone, which are clearly no's for everyone. Those are usually thrown out, and the maybes, there's, you know, about a day discussion on pulling together what those Learning Institute courses are going to be for the next year. We notify a contact person usually end of March in 2009. The proposal, call for proposal, will be up the same time the abstract proposals come in, which is basically in November, right after the annual meeting. So you have until February, March to provide or submit your learning proposal, Learning Institute proposal. We suggest if you are interested in doing this, to get people together as soon as possible to sit down and, you know, mark it out, get a good focus, get your learning objectives to be very clear, and then the earlier you submit, the better. And the more encompassing your information is, the better it is, easier it is for the review committee to see exactly what you're going to do and how you're going to do it, and if it makes sense for you to be able to get it done in 3 hours, 6 hours, or we don't encourage you to do more than 6-hour, one-day courses. There are some other kind of special issues that go on. In terms of, we have a couple of, I guess, government-related, government-initiated learning institutes. Sometimes they are concerned about how many people will show up, so they will subsidize a person's, a learner's registration fee. If we ask that you mark it, once you're chosen, you mark it, to make sure that you have at least a minimum number of people. If you find that you're not, you can always call our office and we'll try to work with you to either market the course or discuss some of these other alternatives to getting your enrollment up. And I think the next slide is my contact information. You have it on the handout, I think that's on the chair. If between now and the time that the proposals come available, I think it's the last slide in that handout, just give me a call, tell me what you're thinking, what you're interested in doing, and I'd be happy to work with you.
Just can you speak to the issue in terms of availability of technology for the learning institutes?
That's a good question. We have probably an uneven access to the technology that people are, adult learners are getting used to in terms of web-based or webinars or podcasts. During the annual meeting, it's usually possible to have a web-based course that has to be in your proposal, because each convention center is different in how they provide wireless service. Here we had to buy a hotspot for where the learning institutes were going to be, so that I think two of the courses were web-based. Learners must bring their own laptops because the technology changes so fast. APHA is not in a position to buy laptops or hardwire computers for these kinds of courses. So there are some other factors involved if you want to do a web-based course. If you need people to bring their own laptops and you have a CD-ROM or something like that, that's a little easier. We just get the strips so people can plug in their things. We make sure that before they register for the course, they know what the capacity of their computer is to be able to upload these CD-ROMs. We lay all of that out on the registration form. But if that's something that you want to do, or this is the only way that course can be given, is by some interactive technology, you need to let us know up front. The EPI course is specific to that particular faculty member, and he does do a pre and post. Most of them do. It's not a requirement that we have. We have a requirement for continuing education, that if someone wants to get continuing education credit, they must fill out an evaluation. But I would venture to guess, I don't know any of the Learning Institute courses that do not have their own evaluation.
You mean about knowledge from the course?
Correct. We do not require it as APHA. We require, if you want CE credit, just like we don't require that you do a pre and post test for a scientific session. It's just overwhelming. Yeah. We do an annual educational needs assessment, and we have gotten back some responses from, we do a random sample of about 6,000 members, and the response that comes back from them helps us to look at what the possibilities might be.
APHA solicits. So they may do that from this reservoir of information, but it doesn't really help the respondents in any way, just so that they can know what you might need.
Yeah. As I was getting ready to say, the other part of that is that there are suggestions that come from APHA staff, from the Ed Board members, on what kind of Learning Institute course would be, where there's a lack or a gap in the skill level. And the members look at what's going on in the field and determine whether this is a good time to solicit for that particular issue or that particular skill. And that's reflected in the call for proposal. there will be sections on looking for these different skill levels in this different area.
I would also add, occasionally, experts around the field in the profession will identify an area or topic that they believe APHA should consider. And that happened, I recall, a case about 3 or 4 years ago from an institution that shall remain unnamed. Someone very respected in the field made a suggestion and a proposal.
And we get feedback from members also. The epidemiology course has been given every year since I've been here and gets over 80 participants. For a two-day course for, you know, about $300-$350, as I said, and that's on top of APHA's conference registration fee. And they're always in there too long. He doesn't give a lot of breaks, and people really seem to gain a lot of skill from doing that. So we tend to have him every year because he always pulls. Also, community-based participatory research. That's also another one that we've had at least over the last 3 years that's pulled, you know, over 100 people for a three-hour course on a Sunday. She's limited now to, I think, 75 because she just feels she can't give as much to the participants if she has over 75. But we always, East Coast, West Coast, up north, down south, that always pulls a lot, so we tend to keep those.
Good question.
How does the committee evaluate allies? Because I attended one, and now that I hear what it's supposed to be, it's supposed to entail, I sort of saw it more as the scientific session versus an LI. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to understand how does the committee continuously evaluate them, especially if evaluations are only coming from those who are doing the learning credits versus those who are not doing learning credits.
There is a criteria for selection, whether, I'm trying to remember them because I didn't bring the sheet. And maybe Drew, you don't have it on your computer anymore.
Which one? The criteria?
The criteria. What I think I'm hearing from you is that we should do more evaluation of the learning institutes from all the participants as opposed to those that just do the CE.
It may be as committee members attending some of them. Because the one that I attended, it was excellent. It was an excellent one, but it did not do the skill buildings that was listed as the presentation or some of the other.
I have a question.
Things.
Were the objectives that were listed for that LI there?
Honestly, I can't even remember the objectives. It's probably sad, but I can't remember the objectives. But just thinking about in terms of increasing my skill to do that kind of work, it didn't happen, but it was an excellent learning presentation.
And maybe it's incumbent upon us, me, to put in an evaluation for everyone. We started this year just giving certificates of attendance, which we have not been doing because we cannot. The people who have CE would get a certificate. If someone wanted a certificate of attendance, they didn't need continuing education, they would go to the convention staff. And the convention staff has a letter that says, yes, you attended this conference at this time. We started this year having the certificate of attendance because we know that even if you don't need continuing education credit, this may be something you need to show your employer. This is something that you can put on your resume and you have to have some kind of backup to that. So we've asked people to sign up to get those because we can't do them here, but we'll do them once we get back to the office.
Did you sign up where?
It was in the CE office. There was a notebook in there that you could sign up to get one.
Do you want to, is this what you're referring to?
Yes. the review form, this is criteria. Purpose, needs assessment, and that's the area. And the question that the reviewer needs to answer, does the proposed LI respond to an educational need that you believe is appropriate for APHA annual meeting attendees? So yes, no, applicable, not applicable. Learning objectives. Does the proposal identify learning objectives that correspond to the intended purpose of the activity as described in the abstract? Methodology. In your opinion, do the proposed activities support the stated purpose of the learning objectives? And so forth.
You can scroll down. Use two fingers, you can scroll down. No.
I'm not into technology savvy, so.
It's a Mac, which is a whole other story.
Was that something you took this year or last year? This year? Which one? Just curious. No, I'm just curious. I mean,
I get it, but I think to understand, as you listen to the criteria, which are very much around the objectives,
right,
to what extent were they had or not had, I think it's important for us to be able to also understand.
I think you were raising our conscience here as the difference. And obviously, she enjoyed it. It was informational. So she got that and enjoyed that. But now you can, it's one of the ways not here, too. What's the difference? And the difference is that you have a different set of outcomes here that you expect to have.
Yeah.
And she recognized that even though she did enjoy it, that wasn't what she got out of it.
I think, having been a reviewer for a number of years, obviously it's like most things, what's on paper and what actually happens. So, and it is very difficult sometimes, I think, for people who submit the proposals to document how they plan to build the skills that we're looking for. And so I think your suggestions about having members of the committee just drop in and see what's going on and then have evaluations from participants that are not for the CE credit are excellent to help us do a better job in achieving what we want to. Yeah.
As someone who is on both sides, conducting is very hard actually to come up with something that's truly skill building. We're so used to just giving the lecture and telling people, giving them the information as opposed to interacting with them. So one of the things I look for when evaluating is, are there those interactive pieces, which is what you're typically missing in a scientific session.
Right.
Are there little breakout sections built into the LI where people can work together and develop a project? And we've done that with one of our LIs. I try to incorporate that. And I know we've looked at that.
We have.
That's one of those things that sort of distinguishes, you don't see that in a scientific session, is where the speaker steps down from the podium and the groups break off project within the course.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
One of the other requirements that we have of the proposal is a schedule, so we can see, what they're doing when, and that's why you know that for the EPI there's a pre and post test, and that information, or it says breakout groups and what activity. The technology in terms of how the Learning Institute is presented online and in the final program can be a little confusing because we have to, we're working with the online vendor to make sure, because that's a little bit different than you have with the scientific session, because you do have breakouts that are concurrent as opposed to, one after the other, which is how some things are displayed. So we're always looking for suggestions and information, feedback on what's working and what's not. And as I said, the certificates of attendance were something that people said, can I get a certificate? And we were like, oh yeah, well, that's a good idea. So, you know, your feedback on what you attended is very helpful to us, as Dr. Bender said.